I was listening to an evangelist one night, and he just kept telling the guys in the sound booth, he says, I can't hear me. He kept saying it over and over. And finally, a guy in the front pew just said, well, maybe he doesn't want to hear you. And the whole crowd just broke up. It was a fun time, but we're going to be in Ephesians, and somebody asked me if we're going to stay in Ephesians, and the answer is yes. Why not? Let's just go through the whole book of Ephesians, and let's study it. To me, it's one of the greatest letters that Paul wrote, and in it is not only the way to live, but also there is sound doctrine in almost every page and every verse. And I love the selection of music tonight because the title of the message is Making Known the Mystery of His Will. You know, I can't tell you how many times my children, as they were growing, they sought what the will was of God in their life. And I just kept telling them, you know, if you're just doing what you're supposed to do, if you're following all the commandments of God, he'll just illuminate that to you. Well, you know, that worked for a while, and honestly, I still believe that. I believe if you are actually doing everything that God asks you to do, his will just be revealed to you. Now, I'm one of those guys who thinks that no matter where you go and no matter what job you have, no matter what school you go to, if you're totally in God's will, he's going to make it happen. And where you go, he's going to help you there, and he's going to supply the needs that you might have. Well, as we look at this particular passage, we're only going to look at a few verses tonight, 8 through 12. That means absolutely nothing in time, by the way. Just looking at a few verses really doesn't mean anything, but we're going to look at these verses. I find it interesting that we can know God's will for all of us. So every Christian can know the will of God in their life by simply relying on the truths that God gives us in His Scripture. Now, I know that if I'm supposed to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm supposed to be a mirror of Him. I like that representation, if you will, of a mirror. When people see me, they should not see Bob Crowder, but they should see the realization of Christ in my life. And if people see Christ in me, then they're going to have questions. They're going to want to know, well, how can I do that? How can I get to where you are? How can I have the peace that you have in a situation that you're in right now? Let's just dive back a couple of verses here, and we need to understand that this letter is written to those who are under great persecution. There's everything's going on in their life, and Paul's writing this letter, and he's encouraging them. If we go back to verse number 3, and that really is the key for almost all of the book of Ephesians, it is simply this, that blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all... Now, if you don't have that word underlined in your Bible, you ought to. All spiritual blessings. It's not just some of them. It's not just part of them. You can have the first 5. You can have the last 7. No. You can have all of the spiritual blessings. And who are they come from? Well, they are in heavenly places. And we know that Christ sits at the right seat of God at this time. Glory, hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing to know. We are going to pick up now because last week, remember, we were looking at we's and us's. And it was very specific about who he was writing to, and he was including himself in every aspect here. So he's writing to those believers in the church at Ephesus, and in writing to them, he's letting them know how much of his heart he can share with them. So we're going to look at verses number 8 through 12. If you found that, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word tonight? Wherein he hath abounded toward us, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all the things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have tonight to stand before you and to praise your name, to sing songs, dear God, that raise our worship of you. And Father, we thank you for that. Now as we take this time to study, I pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts, open our minds, let every word out of my mouth come from you. And Father, we'll ask these things in your Son's name. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In verses 4 through 6, we saw that there are several things that God has promised us and he's delivered on. Number one is he chose us. I really like that in verse number four. I like being chose by somebody. When I was playing baseball and we'd go to Sandlot, now I know that kids don't have Sandlot today. We didn't have little jerseys with our names on the back. I mean, we just rode up there with a baseball glove and maybe a bat if somebody had one, and we'd play Sandlot ball. We'd pick and that type of thing. And I was raised in a household where sports just wasn't a big thing at all. Matter of fact, my dad never threw a ball to me because he was physically unable to do that. And so when I would go up there, I learned right away that I was not on the same caliber of most of the kids my age. So therefore, when the choosing came, I was always towards the bottom of that list, you know, and I'm sitting there and just saying, I hope I get them chosen today. And I didn't care if they put me out in right field, and because that's the place they always put me, right field. Just go to right field, Bob, and just run around there, and you know, we'll help you out. And I said, okay, that'd be great for me. And I really found that to be interesting. But I will tell you, I love the idea that God, through his infinite mercy and love, sent his son to this earth to die in my place, and he chose that. He chose that we could have salvation through his son before the world was ever created. So he chose us. I love that part right there. He adopted us. I mean, what a great thing that is. I know we have several folks in our church community who is adopted. We have many folks in my family area that have gone through adoption. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful, powerful thing. Who you were not loved, and now you are ultimately loved. You're passed away, perhaps, and whatever the situation might be, and now all of a sudden you're in a home where people love you. I can think of no better home for all of us than to heaven. No better home. So he adopted us. He's accepted us in verse number 6. And beginning in the 7th verse, we find out there that the Son of God, he redeemed us. I mean, those are really powerful things. Now we jump down into verse number 8, and there's some powerful things that he wants to tell us here. He's going to continue telling us about these great things, these spiritual gifts that are in heavenly places. So let's take a look at that tonight. He says, wherein he hath abounded toward us. Now, I like that word abounded, by the way. He's not skimpy. Okay? He's not skimpy. He abounds toward us. Now, I just think about that, and I wonder sometimes when we were kids, we didn't get much for birthdays. You know, I was a poor guy, but I didn't know it. I was poor, raised poor. I just didn't know I was poor. Everybody around me was poor, so we all thought we're just fine. But I remember at Christmas time, there would be an extra present under there. You know, there'd be something a little bit more. And I just knew my parents loved me so much because they were going out of their way to do this. I remember one day my dad brought home 2 bicycles for us. Now, they were used. They were different colors. The frame was one color, and the wheels were a different color, you know, and it didn't matter to us. We had bicycles. And I remember getting them out of the back of his truck, and we would ride them up and down the street. I'm telling you, his love just abounded toward us. And if my father's love is like that, I wonder how much more so is my heavenly father's love toward me. And he says here, and he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now that's kind of an interesting word in there. And because prudence almost means exactly the same thing as wisdom. So it's almost like in wisdom and in wisdom. And he's using these two things together. But one of them really means, the wisdom part there, really means that it carries the idea of acting wisely. Now, I know there's many times when I was growing up, and by the way, I'm still growing up. As I'm growing up, I know there's some times where I don't act very wise. I like to do things, and then later then I try to correct all the errors that I had while I was doing those kind of things. I'm still living with some of the errors that I created when I was a kid. Some things, you know, I'll run up against somebody who knew me very well, and I don't want them to talk to anybody that I know. I just don't want that. I was, I might as well get this out of the way. You might as well know. I've jumped on top of a piano before. Now, somebody mentioned that, and Bobby said that sounds like an interesting story, so I might as well tell you the story. I was preaching on heaven one day. And it just didn't seem like people were with me. I was talking about heaven, and they were sitting there smiling at me. But they just weren't getting it. And this particular church had a railing right here, and it was about a 4-inch railing. And so I thought, well, I'm going to get up a little higher. And so, you know, one day we're going to rise a little higher. And I stepped upon that thing, and as I'm stepping there, all of the ladies started saying, he's going to hurt himself. They were looking, and their eyes got this big, and I started saying, we're going to go higher, we're going to rise higher, we're going to get to heaven. Can you just imagine what that day is going to be like when Jesus appears in the clouds? And I looked at them, and they still weren't getting it. The next highest thing was a piano, an upright piano. So, yeah. I got right on top of that piano. Now I'm standing. I got everybody's attention. Now, there is not a soul in that audience who wasn't paying attention whatsoever. And I says, and one day we're even going to get closer to heaven, you know. The next week, they polished the top of that and said, Bobby, if you step up there, you might slip and fall. I mean, they were kind of telling me, please don't do that again kind of deal. But I got to be honest with you. I mean, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if the rapture happened right now? We rising up out of here and flying through the air. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? Well, that group just wasn't getting it that day. Maybe I wasn't connecting with them, but anyhow, yeah, I've done that. There's things that I didn't show very good wisdom about. But then he says prudence, and prudence is the actual taking wisdom then and putting it into action. So wisdom, I have this wisdom, I have the understanding, but now how do I take that wisdom then and put it into action? And the way I put it into action is by simply understanding what God would have for me. You know, there are many in our church today, in our morning service, there are folks who are coming to service, and they don't know why they came. We had visitors that were here this morning, and some of them were here because somebody's asked them or bothered them and drug them, whatever it may be, but they came for a particular reason. But I tell you, the ones that worry me the most are members who don't know why they're coming anymore. Maybe it's become old hat. Maybe it's just become, this is what we do. I mean, we're Baptists, and we come to church. And I got to tell you that bothers me to no end, because Jesus Christ died for me. How can I do any less for him? Sometimes we misunderstand that the whole will of God is that mankind be saved. That's his will. Now, we know not everybody's going to be saved, but we know that that's his will. We can quote John 3:16 until we're blue in the face, and the truth of the matter is, it's still true. Whether we write it on a postcard, whether we send it in an email, whether we put it on a bulletin board, it is still truth. And it is truth 20 years ago, and it'll be truth 20 years from now. God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. That's the difference between wisdom and prudence, or the action of wisdom, if you will. I've heard a preacher say one time, the big difference for most people is they may have a head knowledge of God, but they don't have a heart knowledge of God. And that 18 inches could send them right straight to hell. Having a good head knowledge, but not applying it personally. And that's where I was. God called on me, and I'm so glad he did. So God gives us liberally. I love that idea. I love that the idea that God holds nothing back for those who are going to follow him. He holds nothing back. He gives liberally of all his riches, of all his grace he gives to us. He gives great understanding to us. Now, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you can pick up the book of Revelation and go through the book of Revelation and have it down the first time. It doesn't mean that necessarily. Because Paul was very, very clear to Timothy. He said, study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved. See, that's the big key. And what that takes is, that takes something from you and I. It means that we have to, oh no, make a commitment. Don't we hate that C word? We have to make a commitment. And if I'm going to make the commitment, it's not just read my Bible anymore, but it's to open it up and start seeing what God really has. Let's start putting two and two together here. Let's see what God's message truly is. And in this particular case, he says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And then he says, having made known unto us, again, remember we talked about the importance of those words last week. He's including himself, but he's talking to believers. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, whenever the Bible uses the term mystery, it's not like a whodunit. When I was in the Coast Guard and I first joined, I was on a ship. Now, anybody in the Navy, you would say whatever I was on was not a ship, because our boats were small. It was 180 foot buoy tender, and my job was to scrape barnacles off of buoys. So those buoys that are out in the water, every now and then they got to be pulled out and they have to be scraped because the barnacles get on there. And anyhow, I have to repaint those kind of things, replace the batteries in them, or check the horns, whatever it may be, whatever type of buoy is there. That was my job. Well, anyhow, while I was doing that, there was nothing to do on the ship. When I had duty, it was great because there was things to do. You're constantly checking the ship to make sure everything was going fine. But when my downtime happened, I thought, what do you do? You're contained on a 180-foot boat. There's not a whole lot of places you can go. So one day, all the guys who were around me, they were all reading. Well, I was never a reader in school. Just never got into it. And all of a sudden, I found out that reading was not too bad. I picked up a couple of authors, and pretty soon I was reading through it, and I found that I really liked mysteries. I loved the whodunits. I loved to try to figure that out as I was going. And anyhow, I picked this habit up, and I got to tell you, I really love that. This is mystery is not a whodunit. The mystery here, what it means is God had it closed off to minds until he was ready to reveal it. Now, who in the first century could possibly understand the rapture? It would be difficult for them to understand that because the truth is it's difficult for people today to understand the rapture. Now, we use that word and it's not even in the scripture. So let me give you Bob's loose translation of the rapture. I call it the great sucking off. Men will be sucked off the earth. I don't know. Maybe it's the great elevation. I don't know. Come up with a word, but the word we use is rapture, which means we're changed and we're placed from one position and all of a sudden we rise. Well, what a great word that is, rapture. But people didn't understand that. Can I also say that people didn't understand when Jesus, when he said, and by the way, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be put to death, but in 3 days I'll rise again. You know, I find no less than 6 places where Jesus told that to his followers and they still didn't get it. Sometimes the mystery is something right before our eyes and God's not ready totally to reveal it yet. Take the parables. Meaning the parables that Jesus taught in, he taught because he was hiding something, if you will. There was something he did not want to be revealed yet. The beauty that we have today in the 21st century is we now can see him revealed. But at that time they didn't. There was a couple of times when the disciples said, hey, we don't understand what in the world you were just teaching. He said, well, let me reveal it to you. But there was one time he said, not yet. Mystery means it's just not revealed yet. I was talking to Linda yesterday. I had to confess to her, I really don't know what heaven's going to be like. I know. You just elected me as your pastor, and I have no idea what heaven's going to be like. I know. I hear the descriptions, streets of gold, gates of pearl, that kind of thing. But when it really comes down to my favorite question when I was in youth was, well, what are we going to do all day? I mean, if I'm a farmer, will I farm? If I'm a librarian, will there be a library? And as I was growing up, I kept asking these questions. And finally, the Lord told me one day, it's a mystery. I kept reading through the scriptures. It's a mystery. It's not totally ready to be revealed yet. But I do know this. If I'm having a great time down here and the Lord is blessing me here, how much greater is it going to be when I get to heaven where there will be no sin? It's a mystery. It's not ready to be revealed. And he says these words. He says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. So before this time, his whole will wasn't really revealed. Can you imagine being in the Old Testament times and Moses says, okay, we're going to march in this area and we're going to walk through here. And by the way, God has a plan for you. He wants you to go through and he wants you to subdue the land. Well, these were slaves. And God wanted them to subdue the land. They walked across. They had battle after battle. And we all know the stories of what happened. Some of them totally obeyed what God had for them. And because of that, God blessed those tribes. But there were some tribes who did not do everything God asked them to do. And because of that, they were judged. There was a mystery that was there that was being revealed, and they were right there when it was going to be revealed. This is the land of promise that I promised Abraham that I would give unto you. This is it. The mystery is before us. And so he says here, he's making known the mystery. Well, that means Paul is getting ready here to tell us what this mystery is. What is the mystery of his will? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's move on. He says, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So he said, I can't wait to let y'all in on what the mystery is. I can't wait to open up your eyes. I can't wait to reveal things to you. I'm so glad that when I got saved, I didn't get it all. I'm glad when I got saved, I didn't have all the knowledge of the whole scripture. Because life now has become one big challenge to me of reading and studying and learning what God has for me. Otherwise, it'd just be another book on a shelf, and I'd open it up every now and then when I needed to, but otherwise, it's become real and living to me. Every day when I'm in the scriptures and I'm studying, I'm learning more and more about the mystery that he has for me. When I think about his sending his son, that was a great mystery because they were looking for the Messiah. When Jesus came, he only did half of the prophecies. He only did the ones saying, hey, I'm coming. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here I am. It was a mystery to them. He says, this is the mystery I want for you. And then he says this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Boy, isn't that a great line? You say, yeah, Bob, sure is. In the dispensation of the times. What that really means is, it's the method that God carries out his plan. Now, there's a whole study behind dispensations. They call it dispensationalism. We're not going to go into that. But I just want you to know that when the Bible speaks of dispensation, what he's really talking about is the plan that God has to carry out his will for man. So the dispensation that God has for us is that he sent his son to die for us. That's his will for all mankind. But once we get saved, is there more to it? Well, of course there is. There's more to his will in our life if we'll just open up. It's a mystery, but it will be revealed. He goes on to say this, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even to him. Now, there was 2.5 years on a Sunday night that I took church through the book of the Revelation. 2.5 years. And I have to tell you that when I finished, there was still some mystery to me. He was revealing his will. There's things that are going to happen, but he's still holding some of that back. We don't know who the Antichrist is yet. Would everybody agree with that? Although there's some people on the playing field, we kind of say, wow, you know, could that person be the Antichrist? We don't know who the false prophet is yet, but whoa, are there some false prophets out there that could fulfill that? Of course there are, but that's a mystery yet. We don't know yet who they are. There are many things that are a mystery, but God says, I'll reveal it in time. I'll reveal it when you have a need for that. And so he says here, all things in Christ. Now, I want you to understand that. That's a real key point, and it is that our knowledge will be totally fulfilled, but it'll be all in Christ. So if I'm really going to understand God's mind, if I'm really going to put together those things, then I need to understand Jesus Christ. So therefore, guess what that does? That drives me right back to the Bible. That drives me more to understand what in the world Christ's words are. Whenever I'm having a discussion, I'll call it an argument, but anyhow, whenever I'm having a discussion sometimes on Facebook, after I post something and people want to have a discussion about that because they don't believe that there's only one way, they believe that there are many ways, many spokes in the wheel, and blah, 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 blah. When I'm talking to them about the truth, I just give them Jesus' words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Uh-oh. And no man comes to the Father but by me. For us that are Christians, that's not a mystery at all, is it? We understand it. We've been a part of that. We understand that. But to those who have not accepted Jesus Christ yet, that is a huge mystery. They don't understand it yet. I've heard people tell me that nobody could really understand this Bible because it was written in foreign language and blah, blah, blah. They go into all these things, and all they're doing is repeating what somebody else has said. You know, truly, there's no new argument against Scripture. I love apologetics, and you know, Chris loves apologetics, but there's really no new argument that's out there. It's the same argument, only recloaked. and a new package that they're presenting and saying, okay, the Bible can't be true because of. But I can tell you, I know the Bible's true because it's real in me. I'm the greatest miracle on earth that God selected me, and I responded and said, I want you, Jesus. That's a miracle. That's better than feeding the 5,000, better than feeding the 4,000. It means I have eternal life. I don't know what that means yet. I don't clearly understand what heaven's all about, but I got to tell you, I want to go. I can't wait to get there. But before I go, there's things for me to do. The mystery that he's given us. Look what he says, that one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So he says there's going to come a time when all of this, the things in heaven are going to be made clear, and the things that are down here in this earth are going to be made clear. Now you say, are there things going on in heaven that are unclear right now? Well, the scripture tells us that. Nobody knows when God's going to say, now's the time. It's a mystery. God one day will look at Jesus and says, okay, go get the church. For those of you that don't want to hear a scream, now would be a good time to unplug your earphones. Because I got to tell you, when Christ comes back to get the church, there's going to be some glory hallelujahs going on. There's going to be some Baptists who are going to finally raise their hands. There's going to be some whipping and hollering going on. As we're on our way to heaven, we are not going to sit there and say, wow, nice view. No, we're going to say, yes, Jesus, you promised us, we're coming, and here we are, yes. And I don't even know how it's going to be. Can you imagine clouds just kind of rolling aside, Jesus standing and saying, come on. See, it won't be a mystery then, but it's a mystery now. I don't quite understand all that yet. And Paul's telling him, says, hey, it's going to happen, but when it does, it's all about Jesus. It's all in him. It's him that we're going to be very happy and proud about. Look at verse 11. And whom also we, I love that again. Remember, he's putting all these us's and we's together, that we have obtained an inheritance. Yes, yes, yes. I've told my children over and over, do not expect an inheritance from me because we're going to spend it. Don't expect that. And you know what? My kids are finally starting to understand it. I'm going to spend it all. I'm not going to leave anything for them. Well, that's not the way God's going to handle it. Boy, what an inheritance he gives us. He gives us the same inheritance that he's given his son. We are going to become joint heirs with Christ. Whatever God has for Jesus, he has for us. It's a mystery. I don't understand what that means yet, but I got to tell you, I can't hardly wait. It may be a mystery to us, but it's not a mystery to God. Can't wait till when God says, turns over to the right hand there, and he says, okay, go get them. Man, I tell you what, that's a hoop and a holler right there. I want to get glad hands again. You know, glad hands. That's happy, by the way. Happy. So, everybody, let's try happy. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So we can be happy about that. And he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. See, he has an idea for us. And the idea is this. He's calling us to him. We respond. We accept him as Lord and Savior. Now he has this inheritance for us, and it's been predestined from the very beginning of time. He says, I'm going to have the plan of salvation. Jesus, this is your part. Holy Spirit, this is your part. And here's my part. And this plan of salvation is going to happen before he ever spoke a word and said, let there be light. The plan of salvation was in place. And that plan of salvation was already in place, saying that those who accept my son Jesus Christ will have spiritual gifts that are in heavenly places. They're going to have eternal life. They're going to have adoption. They're going to have blessings. They're going to gain wisdom. All these things were preordained from the very beginning of time for those who accept Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. All these things we're going to get. For the unsaved, it's a mystery. But for those of us who are now saved, we get an idea that one day we're going to be in heaven. One day we're going to walk the streets. One day we're going to pick up our harps and we're going to sing. I heard J.D. Sumner. Now, if you're not into gospel music, you don't know who J.D. Sumner is, but J.D. Sumner was a bass in many, many quartets, many different quartets, and he was, what? It's all about that bass, that's right. He was a great bass, and he could shake the rafters. I mean, he could really get down low and shake the rafters. And so one day they were talking about heaven, and he says, well, that's okay. He says, you know, there's going to be plenty of tenors, there's going to be plenty of sopranos, plenty of altos. He says, no, I'll sing bass. I mean, that was his word, you know. That was his mystery, if you will, of what he was going, what he was planning. But what a great idea that is. I mean, I don't know what holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. I don't know what that's going to sound like when everybody's saying it together. Can you imagine those words being said over and over? And it's not just words, but it's actually coming from our hearts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I don't think I could ever get tired of that. Because of what Jesus did for me is why I'm actually in the presence of God. It's what he did and not me. It was a mystery before I got saved, but now it's being revealed page by page, day by day. He reveals more to me. Look what he says here finally in verse number 12. He says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. You see, the whole gambit of what he's been speaking about up to this point is this. We are predestined. Remember, I told you last week that this is not talking about salvation. We are predestined for all these things that God has for us. And in this particular case, he's putting it all together. This is kind of the summary of the first 12 verses. And he says that we, it's you, me, that's Chris over here, that's Linda, that's Michael visiting us, that's us, we. Okay, so are you part of we? If you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, are you part of we? And if you are, then let's make this real, okay? That Bob... So place your name there. That, place your name. No, I mean out loud. That, okay, makes it real. That we, Bob, should be to the praise of his glory. What is my job down here in this earth? My job is to be representative of him, to praise him and give him glory that he so rightfully deserves. It's he who has done everything for us. Paul is saying, it's to him. To us, he says in this particular case, that we should be to the praise of his glory. We are not in our own glory, but we are in his glory. I'm telling you what, I'm about ready to run up and down the aisles here. I might turn charismatic here just for a moment. I mean, isn't that exciting? Okay. I'm going to have to figure out what really gets you excited then. That you, he said, that we should be the praise of his glory who trusted in Christ. You see, predestination doesn't have to be all about salvation. It says who is predestined of those who trust in Christ. How simple is that? God's plan for us and the mysteries are slowly peeled back like an onion. As we study the Bible, then we start slowly just peeling that onion back. And you know what? We'll get to the solid core when we step across that threshold into glory. Up until then, it's a mystery, and we'll keep looking at it. So what does he have for us then? What are all these things that he's got for us? Well, I just look at here a little bit of conclusion. I thought it was interesting today. Heath preached a great message today, and he pulled the trick that most pastors preached. Three times he said, now this is the end. This is all. And I started laughing. I thought, okay. And he did the same thing at the lunch. You see, it's what we do. But I really honestly want to say, this is it. Okay, so here are the things so far that we have learned, okay? Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and this is what he says. God chose us to be holy and without blame. That's our job. We're to be holy without blame. What does holy mean? Set aside. Set aside for a purpose. He set us aside. Number two is God predestined us to be adopted children of Jesus. Adopted children of God. He chose us to be that way. Yeehaw. I love my earthly daddy, and I love my earthly mama, but I can tell you what, I'm more excited to be adopted by my heavenly Father. Number three is God accepts us. As bad as Bob Crowder is, and I know all my sins, and I'm not telling you, but I know my sins, as bad as I am, God still loves me. How does that work? We as humans, we accept it, right? I mean, Linda and I have been married for a long time, and there's just certain things that she just accepts from me. And one of those things is when I come into a room, I normally just kind of kick off my shoes. Doesn't bother me at all. But boy, do I hear it from Linda. And she's so wise. Sweetheart, do you think you're going to wear those in 10 minutes? There's a place for those. Well, thank you, honey. Thank you a lot. I really appreciate that. As my shoe just still continues to sit there. She's wise. God accepts us for who we are. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful I didn't have to become perfect before God would say, now I'll take you in. I'm glad he accepted me with all my faults, all the things I'm going to do wrong for the rest of my life. He accepted me. When he was on the cross, he knew I was going to continue to sin, but he loved me anyway. All we had to do is accept him. Number four is Jesus redeemed us. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I just love that song because that's me. It's not just a song. It's not just words, but that's me. Redeemed. How I, Bob Crowder, love to proclaim that because that's what I am. I'm redeemed. On my own, I am nothing. But through Christ, I'm redeemed. Redeemed from everything. Number five, God forgives us of our sins. Amen and amen, right? Amen and amen? God reveals his will for us. How wonderful is that? We don't serve a God who we have no idea what he wants from us. We serve a God who lays it out, says, this is what I expect from you. This is what I want you to do. And if you'll do these, then there's these great things. In our Wednesday night study, we've been learning about if-then statements. So when we study our Bible and we go into observation, there's if-then statements that are all throughout Scripture. If you do this, then this happens. If you do this good, then this happens. If you do this bad, then this happens. There's if-then statements all throughout Scripture. Jesus, one of his greatest teaching methods was parables. But in the parables, he would use if-then statements. That's a wonderful thing. But I don't have to be perfect before God called me. So God forgives our sins. He reveals his will to me. And the last point here is that he has made us an inheritance. I know what my earthly inheritance was from my father. My heavenly inheritance from Jesus Christ is not complete yet. And it's up to me. How wonderful is that? It's not up to others. It's not up to my wife to help me to be better, to finally figure out how to keep my shoes on. Don't have to do that. So instead of kicking your shoes off, put whatever sin bothers you the most. Whatever that sin that keeps coming back and bothering you more and more. God accepted us anyway. He loved us and he brought us in. He says, I know you're going to be that way, but I know I've got faith in you. I know that you'll follow me if you just follow my will. God has made us an inheritance in verses number 11 and 12. So let me be very clear today. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there are no spiritual blessings for you right now. Let me be clear. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there are no spiritual blessings in heavenly places for you right now. The us's and the we's that he's talking about here are those who are already saved. I don't know what your situation is tonight. I'm just going to assume that most everybody in here is saved. That only happens if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I would say, in this year of new beginnings, in this opportunity for us to grow, in the people that God continues to bring through our doors, visitors, in more visitors, perhaps are going to come in the next few weeks. As visitors walk through the door, we have one responsibility. We need to make contact with them, and we need to show them the love of Christ. And that's more than the handshaking period. Love them as they come through the door. Ask them to sit with you. Share with them your great joy in Christ. Because the world out there wants to suck their life dry and tell them that there's no better place out there, that it's just all dog-eat-dog, and that's all we have for the rest of our life. Well, who'd want to live that way? Don't we have something better? We do. We have something great, and that is, from the very beginning of time, before time ever was, God says, let's have a plan of salvation, and this is what I'm going to do. And by the way, for those who accept my son, there's great things waiting for them. Great things. I'm happy about that. Let me see your happiness. Let me see your happiness. That's right. Happy, happy. Those things are waiting for us. Glory, hallelujah, that God loves us so much that not only would he allow us to become saved and have eternal life, but there are spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Here we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. Thank you, thank you for Paul. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who caused him to write this letter to the Ephesians. And I thank you, Lord, that he's made clear some things that are caused some people to stumble so much. Father, you wanted us from the very foundation of time, Lord, to be saved. You've designed us in such a way that there is a longing for you. And for those of us who have accepted you, oh God, I just pray that we'll just eat up this book. Let us meditate on it. Let us chew it like a cow chewing its cud. Let us consistently, Lord, just be looking in your word. And as Paul is expressing to this church all the things in Christ and what they can gain by that, he doesn't make it like it's a winning list. He just gives us a matter of fact. We are adopted. We're redeemed. He gives us grace. He shows us his will. These things he has done for us. Oh, Lord, in this new year, let Lakeview Baptist Church, let us be the lighthouse, Lord, that helps others to find you. Father, I ask that you just work in our hearts, Lord. I pray that we'll be begging you to have someone cross our path that we can just tell them about Jesus. Lord, let us be open and quick to respond. Let us just tell people about what you have done for us. Oh God, may we truly understand your will in our lives. And Father, I'll ask these things in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.